Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Now, very quickly, I want to move on to our message for today, and can I have a slide, please? Well, our message for today is about responsibility. Right, can we say it together? Responsibility. Okay, let's do it again, alright? Responsibility. One more time, loud and good. Responsibility. Now Pastor Daniel has kind of shared with you this thing about Fire Up, our Cruise Values. And in fact, starting from next week, he's going to share more about it one by one. So this thing about responsibility is going to be covered again. But what I felt the need to share today, because I don't think you can sort of overemphasize responsibility. Right, so as an intro, let me just share with you what I'm talking about it tonight. I think that responsibility is a basic value, basic principle that we need to have in life. Now, if you don't agree with me, let me just ask you a few questions. Think about your school. Right, what is one of the things that most commonly frustrate you when you work in, let's say, project group? What's the thing that usually frustrate you? It's when you meet irresponsible teammates, correct? Now let me ask you, if you are a boss, right, working, if you are a boss, would you fire or hire someone who's irresponsible? Fire or hire? Fire, correct? Now let me ask you, in your family, how would you feel if your parents are irresponsible? Chances are you won't feel good, right? And vice versa, parents here, if your children is irresponsible, then you will struggle with that also. So you see that no matter what you're talking about, responsibility is a big part of our lives, a big part of our relationships with people. But as much as it is important, it is very often, not valued, not emphasized, and not practiced. Right? So if you look at our society today, generally people don't value responsibility very much. And I think that one of the reasons why we do that is that we tend to be a society that is more concerned about what I call your rights. So, just know this, that when God actually created us, right, His design for us is that as a human being, you have both rights and responsibilities, right? Very easy to remember, R and R, rights and responsibilities. But the tendency for us is to think more about our rights, right, especially in Singapore, versus your responsibility. Alright, so when we talk about Singapore, right, what are some of the things that we tend to think about? Right, let's say we think about ourselves as a Singaporean. What are some of the things that we tend to think about? What are some of the things that we tend to talk about with our friends? What are those things? Maybe we talk about things like our privilege as a Singaporean to enjoy good education, to enjoy healthcare, to enjoy your MRT seat. Right, for those who are getting married, to have your priority in getting your house. We tend to talk a lot about these kind of things, right? And we get excited about what kind of rights do we have. But we seldom think about things like, wow, I'm so excited that I finally can enlist and go and serve in national service. I mean, do y'all do that? Alright, guys who just enlisted, I know a few of y'all just enlisted. Very often we are not as excited about responsibility compared to our rights. And if you feel this way, if you think this way, it's normal, because our society is all like that. Right? When you go to school, when you go to your camp, this is usually what your friends tend to talk about. And I think even for some of the sensitive issues that we deal with in society, let's say we talk about this whole, you know, debate. You all know the debate about the Penal Code 377A, right? All the issues about Pink Dot and all that. I think one of the reasons why this thing is so often misunderstood, it is because we tend to talk a lot about our human rights. You know, you have the right to love, for example. But I think it should be a bit clearer when we start to think about your responsibility. Right? What's your responsibility in terms of, you know, we, let's say, as a man, a woman, right? What's our responsibility in terms of things like demonstrating the right values, even though a lot of things that we so-called are put forth is like, this is a private thing, you know? But we seldom think of the greater implications of our actions, even though it is private, right? So a lot of things can be much clearer in life if we start to think of both rights and responsibilities. You cannot have one without the other, right? The moment you have one without the other, it is unbalanced, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, you have rights. and you also have responsibilities. Right, so take both together, okay? So my objective for tonight is very simple, is to get us to value responsibility and practice it. Okay, to get us to value responsibility and to practice it. And with that, I'm going to talk about what does the Bible say about responsibility. Now, of course, we can go to talk about individual passages, but what I will do tonight instead is to go through a lot of different passages. Right? Because unlike, let's say, for example, love. Right? You all know love, right? Unlike love, love is something which is, the word love is actually explicitly mentioned in the Bible many times. But responsibility is not like that. You'll find that the Bible don't really, you know, use the word responsibility. But yet, like love, the concept of responsibility is actually embedded throughout the whole of the Bible. Right? From the first page to the last page. So tonight I'm also trying to scan through a lot more passages to show you that in all of what the Bible, right, talks about, there is always this need to think about responsibility because it's actually all embedded in there. Is that okay? So back to the question of what does the Bible say about responsibility, that's what I'm trying to cover today. And then later on to round up, I'll talk about how the message applies to you. Right, so what does the Bible say about responsibility? I'm going to go through a lot of passages, but if you forget one thing, the main point, I hope, by going through the different passages is that you will realize that God entrusts us responsibility. Alright, next slide. God entrusts us responsibility. This is the main point of what I'm trying to say tonight, and I hope that when I go through the scriptures, you really see it is not your parents. It can be your parents who entrust you responsibility. It can be your leaders, pastors. But at the end of everything, right, you will see that God is the main person who entrusts you responsibility. And that has a big implication for us. So are you all ready to delve into the word? If you're not ready, then just get ready lah, okay? Okay, very quickly, can I have the next slide, please? There's quite a long list. So I will just try to go through just some of the key points. Okay, so God entrusts us responsibility. For example, God entrusts us responsibility for creation. Right, in Genesis chapter 1, 28, God says, be fruitful and multiply, right, subdue the earth, fill the earth and subdue the earth. Right, we are given the responsibility to lead over creation. You know, chapter 2, God put man in the garden, right, to work the garden and trust man with the responsibility of creation. The next point is that God gives us responsibility for our family's well-being. Okay, some of the verses I won't read, but I think this one is quite good for us to read. So let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 5. The skill it says this, all right, from verse 4. It says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice. Right, how do we actually put our faith into practice? By caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So worship pleasing to God, but it's not just about singing songs, it's about also caring for our family in practical ways. You know, jump to verse 8. It says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Everyone say wow. Right? Why do you say wow? Because I ask you to say, right? Right? But when I read this, I say, wow, this is very strong words, you know? Right? If anyone does not provide for his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. So God has entrusted us responsibility even to provide materially for our families. Right? So just as a side note, I want to share, I think this is particularly relevant for those of you who are in campus. Right? Very soon you start work. And I know that very often when you talk to your friends, when you are starting work, what's the first thing you think about with regards to your first pay? What are the things you want to buy, right? Or for some of us who are maybe a little bit more mature, how are we going to save your money? Right? Can I encourage you, it's not as ideal as considering like what do you want to give to your family? I don't think we have a culture where we usually think about our first pay and how we can repay our parents. Right, but if you look at this, it is scriptural, right, for us to repay our parents. So I want to encourage you to think differently from your peers. Right, so God entrusts us responsibility for our family's well-being. Move on to the next one. God entrusts us responsibility for raising our children in His ways. Right? I know most of you don't have children yet, but very soon you will have. So I think very good for us to look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Right? In verse 6 it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Right? Why I emphasize this is because now sometimes when I talk to young people, maybe they feel that they don't really know the word. So they cannot imagine themselves to be teachers of the word. Right? So maybe your approach should be maybe share word in a cell. Then it's like, I can't really teach word. But actually, at the end of the day, every one of you need to know how to teach the word. Okay, so say, I must know how to teach the word. Say with conviction, I must know how to teach the word. Why do you need to know how to teach the word? Because you are going to get married and have children, right? Unless you want to stay single like me. Right? So the word clearly tells you, okay, the responsibility of teaching children the commandments of God lies with who? The youth pastor? No. It lies with parents. Right? Which includes all of you who are going to get married and have children. Okay, so a lot of things that God entrusts to us. Moving on very quickly. Are you all still with me? Okay. God entrusts us responsibility for speaking His message. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 33. I think that's a very good point for me to mention here. Ezekiel 33, right, verse 7. It says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do want the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will save himself." All right, very interesting here. In Jesus, basically, God shows us that we are responsible for our actions, but not necessary for our results. Okay, but we are still held accountable for our actions. So if God, you know, send you to share something, right, with your friends, don't worry, because there are many things that are out of control. Your friends may not respond, but you still must share, right, regardless of how your friends respond, because God holds us accountable, though not for our results, but holds us accountable for our actions. Okay, so you've got a few more hanging there with me. God entrusts us responsibility for doing His will. Okay, the next one. God entrusts us responsibility for the gospel. I think you're very familiar with those verses. Right. The next one. God entrusts us responsibility for our words. Okay, let me read this one to you. Because many of us, sometimes we say things, we don't realize the severity of our words. But in Matthew chapter 12, 36, it says, "But I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." Now, those of you who like to talk without thinking, this is really a verse for you. Okay, next one. God entrusts us responsibility for our actions and their consequences. You look at it, there are just so many verses. And among other verses, actually, if you have time to read through, you realize that these verses are among the clearest, so to speak, about highlighting to us the consequences. So I want you all to know, sometimes we live life and we don't really think about the consequences. Well, we really don't think about the kind of responsibility that we have to take for our actions. But I want you to look at these verses and know that God is very serious, right, when He holds us accountable for actions. God is not going to come to you and allow you to blame other people. So if you get what I mean, right, very often when we do something wrong, the classic one, why you never hand up your homework? Because my dog ate the homework. Right? But the responsibility in this case, even if your teacher believe in you, God will still hold you accountable to that. Alright, so don't blame your dog, because a lot of dogs have been suffering accusations and they cannot speak up for themselves. Alright, Romans chapter 14, I think it's a good verse for us to read out of the many. Romans chapter 14 verse 10, it says, "You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give what? An account of himself, right? Give an account of ourselves to God. So on the day when we meet with God, regardless of who you are, all of us got to give an account to him for our actions, right? Is that critical? You cannot have an excuse and say that, God, I do not know. Okay? And last but not least, finally, all right, after this, God entrusts us responsibility for our actions and their impact on others, right? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 again. So just now we kind of continue from just now. All right, Romans chapter 14, then after we talk about our own, you know, actions, the consequences, now it's about others, the impact you have on others. Right, so Romans 14:13 says, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. This is very often what Christians call the stumbling block principle. Right, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. Right, so this is Paul talking about, you know, what kind of food you cannot eat and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of liberty in terms of what we can eat. Right? But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. And if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer eating in love. Right? You are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. So now you know, alright, eating also can have a lot of impact. Right? Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Okay, one more passage. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Everything is permissible. You probably heard of this many times. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Skip to verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Okay, I think you can stop here. Right? So you see that your actions has an impact on others. So even if your actions by itself is not so-called a sin, but if it stumbles someone else, God can hold us responsible for it. So let me talk about something which, please don't judge me. The Bible says don't judge, right? So please don't judge me. I'm not trying to be sexist here, but I think this is something very relevant. So can I kindly say to my dear sisters in Christ, now when you get out of the house, you look in the mirror, right? You want to dress nicely to be very pretty. Am I right to say that? Alright? My dear pretty sisters, right? But let me ask you, when you dress up, do you think that you're responsible for how your brothers might be stumbled by your dressing? Do you think so? Do you think so? Very hard. Maybe this one should be Pastor Tina come and share with you all. Right? But I think the verse itself says very clearly that your actions can have an impact on other people. And by that, you can be held responsible as well. So because the guys, we also talk about this, right? We share about our own struggles with lust. And we also talk about, you know, we had a guys, right, meeting, right? And Pastor Chris talked about, actually for us guys, sometimes if you're really struggling, then maybe, we should go out to the girls and say, dear sister, can you please cover up a bit more? Alright, this is a practical challenge that Pastor Chris gave to the boys. So I don't know whether any one of them has done that to you yet, but if they have done it, please, respond to them in love, right? Now let me ask you this question. Do you think it's unfair if I say this to you, girls? Come on, girls, are you awake? So is it unfair to you that I say this? Okay, I don't think so. Now some of you may say, but it's how I want to dress, ma. Who asked the guy to look at me like that? Correct, right? I'm sure you have thought about that before. Okay? I think it's valid for you to think like that, but let me just give you this suggestion. You are responsible for how you dress. The guy is responsible for how he looks at you. Right? So it is really not your fault if the guy chooses to look at your, you know, let's say your breasts, your butts. I'll just be a bit explicit here. But it is your responsibility if you show it to them. Right? I mean, if you cover up those parts and the guy still wants to look, then there's nothing you can do about it. Correct? But if you choose to reveal it to them, then you share the responsibility also. Okay, have I made myself very clear, girls? Can? So if you don't know what to wear, let me just give you this. Right? I think it rhymes lah. Okay? When God first created clothes, do you know that God is the one who created clothes? Right? Those who are in fashion, say amen to that. But God created clothes for Adam and Eve. And when God created clothes for them, is it to conceal or to reveal? Conceal or reveal? Conceal, right? So next time, girls, when you dress up, just make sure that you dress to conceal. Right? If at the back of your mind somewhere you're thinking about revealing something, even if it's to the guy that you like, you know, please do lah, right? Because if you really show us, you can't blame us for looking at you. Okay? I know I put it very bluntly, but scriptures really kind of suggest that we are held responsible for even how, you know, we stumble our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, same thing for guys. There might be other things that you maybe have the freedom to do. But if you stumble other people, then you should really think twice about your actions. Okay, so I know I say a lot, but the whole thing is that you remember that God is the one who entrusts us responsibility. Responsibility is not just one of the things that we teach, let's say in moral education. It's not just a good thing to have to make you successful in life. But why we want to be responsible is because who entrusts it to us? God entrusts it to us, alright? And because God entrusts us responsibilities, then we don't need to feel overwhelmed, we don't need to be worried because God is the one who entrusts us responsibility. Alright, just some gracious check. God is a good God. If God entrusts it to you, means that there must be a reason why He did that. So to kind of sum up, right, to help you understand the so-called goodness of God in Him entrusting us responsibility, let me just use an analogy that many of you might be familiar with, right, even though it was used for a slightly different context. Now, you went for the camp, most of you. Remember this analogy that Joe Chen gave, alright? It says that God takes the 999 step and we take the one step. You remember the analogy? Right? You remember that analogy? Can you just wave so I know that you remember? Okay? So it's the same thing here. When we talk about God entrusting us responsibility, there is also a part on us that is that we are required then, of course, to fulfill that responsibility. Now, how does that ratio work out? I think we can use the same ratio. Right? When God entrusts us responsibility, He is so-called like taking the 999 steps. And then for us, we just need to take that one step, right? If not, you don't believe me, you just look at the list of things again, right? For example, when I start off, I say that God entrusts us responsibility for creation. That means we have to take care of planet Earth and so on and so forth. But let me ask you, what is the 999 that God has done? If we are expected to do that one step of taking care of creation, what is the 999 that God has done for us with regards to this responsibility that He has entrusted to us? What is it? It's found in Genesis chapter 1. What did God do? God created everything out of nothing. Can you imagine it? Right? For us as a human race to take care of creation, maybe it feels like very big. But actually, God has done a greater work in creating everything. Actually, if you really look at the science of creation, the science of nature, you realize that a lot of things is autopilot one. You don't really have to ask the sun to rise, and the sun will automatically rise. Right? A lot of times, things on earth are not going well, it's because we kind of abuse it. But other than that, if you kind of leave things alone, things are perfectly fine. This is the greater work. Right? Or we talk about God entrusting us the responsibility of the gospel. I mean, if you really think about it, who is the one who does all the work in that sense of giving us even the gospel, of going before us to prepare the hearts of our friends when we share the gospel with them? It is God, right? Jesus died, and because of that, we have that salvation message. I mean, if Jesus never do the so-called impossible for us, no point for you sharing the gospel because it doesn't lead people anywhere. Alright, so if you read the verses that I gave you, you go back and read, you try to also read around it, the verses before, you'll find that a lot of times, these verses that talk to us about responsibility, they kind of also give you a little bit of background, like what God has done. So for example, in 1 Peter chapter 4, right, one of the verses that I didn't read, but before that verse itself, right, earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us that because Christ suffered, therefore we should arm ourselves with the same attitude to have the same level of responsibility for our actions. So I want you all to know this, because I know that maybe some of us, we, by nature, just for some reason, don't like responsibility, that God wants you to take up responsibility, and He's not asking too much. Because the much that is needed, He has already done. Right? God has already fulfilled what He needs to fulfill. And when He entrusts you, responsibility is really good. It's for your growth, even for the benefit of people around you, right? And it's not too demanding because it's just one compared to the many things that He's already done for you. Is that okay? Ken, you all follow me so far? Right? So very different from maybe how sometimes people around you might also ask you to be responsible, but this approach really helps you to see how does it begin with God. Okay? So, in your quiet time, you actually can read the Bible and see that, you know, it's always God who has called us to be responsible. Right? So now, to kind of move on, right, I will just talk about how does this message apply to us. Because I feel that I'm talking to quite a big group of people, and we are probably in different journeys. So how does this thing kind of apply to us? So I'm going to kind of so-called create three groups. And then on your own, you try to identify which group you are in and think about what then is your response to this message. So there are three groups of people we kind of have. The first group is what I call the Esau's. You all know the story of Esau? Esau and Jacob, right? Esau was born a hairy man, right? So the story of Esau is that he's someone who never really quite been responsible at all, right? So if you are so-called like an Esau, the message applies to you in that sense that you have to move, right, to the next stage by learning how to be responsible for yourself. Because chances are that you have never really been quite responsible at all in your life. If you're not responsible, means that you have yet to grow up and mature. Now some of you might be biologically already an adult. Do you know that? Friends, the moment you have your puberty, you are actually an adult because you have the potential to have kids. So you are already an adult, right, if you are past puberty. But in terms of responsibility, you have not really yet matured, right? And therefore, just like how Esau is, you have areas to work on in your life. Right, so just now I talk about our society, I talk about how sometimes people are very focused on their rights and not so much on their responsibilities. So Esau is pretty much like that. Okay, I won't go into the story because of time. But if you read it, you realize that there's this part whereby Esau, right, he went to Jacob, and Jacob was cooking soup. Right, and because Esau was hungry, then he traded his birthright. So the birthright is basically something that gives you a right, like what the name suggests. But it also requires you to take up certain form of responsibility. So Esau, by way of his hunger, he gave up both his right and his responsibility. So by this, you know that this is somebody who's very irresponsible. And this is, unfortunately, how some of us are like. Some of you are at a stage whereby you have people coming to you, you have people reminding you that you need to be responsible for this and for that. Can I just ask that after today, you learn why to be responsible? If you're not responsible, then a question maybe that is good for you to ask is, why did God even entrust you responsibility in the first place? Think about that. Why did He entrust you responsibility in the first place? So if you are not responsible for your studies, then ask God, why did He entrust you responsibility for your studies? If you're not responsibility even for something small, like the cleanliness of your room, why did God even entrust that responsibility for you, to you in the first place? Right? Chances are, if you really take the effort to think, I think you really see the purpose behind it, and even without people telling you, you actually start to do it. Because you see God in the picture. Okay? It's no longer just someone nagging at you, but you really see the importance and value of that. You know, I know that a lot of times the older generation, we tend to look at the younger generation and we think of you all as irresponsible. Well, there might be some truth in that. But I think that if we label you as irresponsible, it is also very irresponsible of us to think like that. Right? Instead, we need to help you to see that there's really a value. And that value is not just because of some, you know, temporary benefits. I know that a lot of times, right, how maybe we train you to be responsible is we kind of entice you, right? Okay, if you do this, we will reward you. But we fail to show you that behind the reward, there is something far greater. Is that God wants you to be responsible. So if you kind of grow up in an environment whereby, you know, every time you are required to be responsible, you are kind of, people train you by way of giving reward, I can understand if you are struggling with responsibility. So today on your own, you need to really ask God to give you a new paradigm. Okay? And that was what, unfortunately, Esau didn't have. But on the other hand, his brother Jacob, he actually learned it. So even though Jacob had quite a messed up life also, but he learned it through the hard way, right? He encountered God and then he began to realize that there's a certain destiny and call over his life, over his family, right? So it's only with that encounter with God that he kind of recognized that. And you too need that encounter with God, right? The next group, you are what I call the Jonas brothers, okay? The Jonas, right, basically you are already quite responsible. You are the kind who's quite responsible for everything, like you are the model student in school, right, kind. But you need to go a little bit beyond that. So this is what I call, you need to be responsible for others. Now maybe you are kind of so good in training yourself that, you know, you don't need people to tell you that you need to do your homework. You don't need people to tell you that you need to do whatever you need to do for yourself. But I think that, while that is good, many of us, we stop short of that, and we don't realize that actually, there's a lot more that we can be responsible for than ourselves. And Jonah was a classic example of that. If you read the story of Jonah, you'll realize, right, that God called him to be responsible for this group of people that actually were his enemies. And even though Jonah was a prophet, so I believe that Jonah must be quite responsible already, to some extent, that God called him for that. But what did Jonah do? He ran away. And this is probably the case for many of us. Right? I know sometimes when your leaders encourage you to serve or encourage you to lead, even though you didn't run away, but you literally in your heart run away lah. Right? By giving different kinds of reasons. I don't want to say excuses. Right? Sometimes it can really be a running away. So you really need to examine your heart. Right? Why are you so-called running away? To realize that God wants us not just to be responsible for ourselves, but to be responsible for others. Now, I know it can be daunting, right? Just by looking at Jonah's case, why he didn't step up to their responsibility is because of maybe certain kind of negative feelings, hatred. Maybe for some of you, it could be just indifference to people around you. Maybe for some of you, it could be even a certain sense of fear, right? I know that many of us, it's not that you don't want to be responsible, but at the back of your mind, there's a lot of your fears, right? You think back about like, wow, if I take responsibility for others, then what if I fail in my responsibility? How am I going to answer to people? And that in itself can be a very scary thought, but I just want to assure you, okay, what does the Word of God teach us? The one who entrusts you the responsibility is God. Okay? So for example, if God prompts you in your heart to take responsibility for sharing Christ with your friend, even though that is scary, but know that God is the one who entrusts you that responsibility, and you have to learn how to trust Him. Okay? Instead of so-called being like Jonah to run away, you have to put aside your fears, right? And learn to really trust Him for the things that matters. Right, when you look in the story of Jonah, as you progress to the end of the story, right, basically Jonah was kind of upset with God. It says like, God, why you like that, you know? The tree that gave me shade, you destroy it. Right, so maybe some of us, we are responsible in some ways, but at the end of the day, God chose to hold him responsible for an entire city. And I can safely assume that many of you, maybe you feel that you're young, you're not called to anything, but as you continue to grow up, know that God might be calling you to be responsible for a lot of different people in your life. God is going to give you influence. And if you don't want to take up the responsibility, you're simply stopping short. Okay? And last but not least, you are what I call the Timothys. For you, you have so-called followed the pause in your life. You're kind of fought a good fight in the faith. And now God is calling you to entrust responsibility, right? Maybe let's look at some of the verses there, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you." Alright, so here is Timothy already receiving the responsibility of God's word, of sound teaching. Paul is reminding him about it. He says, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's really difficult at that point of time because it was a time where in the church there was a lot of false teachings. Right? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Now, if you are the third category of people, the basic thing for you is to entrust responsibility. Alright? Press on and pass on. Everyone say, press on and pass on. Right? If you are a Timothy, chances are that you are going through discouragement. But like a Paul to Timothy, I say to you, right? Press on and pass on. If you want God's kingdom to be growing, but if you want to be responsible for God's kingdom, you can't do it alone. You can't rely on your own strength. You need, of course, the help of God, but you also need so-called everyone. And for us, it's a matter of how we entrust responsibility to others. So, if you think about us, alright, as let's say your leaders, right, just talk about the context of the church, there is no way we can win this generation for God. But if today we are willing to believe in God, we are willing to entrust that responsibility to you, maybe sometimes we also need to overcome our own mindset that you are not ready, that you are not interested. Then when we entrust that responsibility to you, there is that potential for the kingdom of God to go beyond us. Now if we don't entrust that responsibility, there is no way that the kingdom of God will be going beyond us. So this is a principle that we need to learn. If you want something to outlive your life, if you want something to have greater influence than your life, you need to entrust responsibility to people. And leaders, you are definitely in that category. If there are any parents here, you are in that category. Now some of the parents, you might be struggling, or maybe next time you grow up as a parent, you might be struggling because you find that your children are really responsible. A lot of times, it could be because you fail to entrust them responsibility. That's why they grow up like that, right? Many a times, our society makes it such that we teach them math, we send them for tuition, we give them a lot of like enrichment classes, but we fail to teach them responsibility from young, right? And responsibility is something that, if you don't start from young, it's going to be very difficult when you teach it later. You agree? Right? So, as much as you can, we try to teach it when they are children. If cannot, then at least you still do it when they are youth. Right? By the time it gets to adult, it's going to be harder. But if it's really had to be done then, it has to be done then. Right? But this is something that the earlier we start, the better it is. And so therefore, we got to change our mindset. Right? It's not looking at people and say that, you know what, I don't think they're ready. Or you know what, I think that there are more important things for them to be done. Okay? Or maybe in the context of leaders, sometimes we are perhaps afraid of offending people, or we are maybe don't know how to motivate people. Now is the time for us to change our mindset that in order to be responsible for God's kingdom, we must, and we shall entrust responsibility. Amen? Right, so as we close, can I just invite the worship team up? We're just going to close. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us, you know, to worship God. And I feel that it is an appropriate response for us, because tonight, whether you recognize that you are more like an Esau, that you have never really been quite responsible in your life before, or you recognize you're like a Jonah, you kind of are responsible, but you're struggling. Right? You wonder why you need to be responsible for others. Or you are already very responsible, but you know that there's another level of challenge for you to go. That is to entrust responsibility to people. That is to inspire people to take up responsibility. Which regards to, regardless of whichever group you are in tonight, the hope that we have is that we have a good God. Right? We have a God who doesn't entrust you responsibility that you cannot manage. He doesn't entrust you responsibility because he wants to arrow you. I know sometimes we are at fault when we delegate responsibility. It's more like arrowing you rather than developing you. But we have a God who entrusts you a responsibility so that you learn, you develop yourself, you learn to trust in Him. You know that whatever God has called you to do is not too difficult. Right? There might be a certain challenge to it, but it's not impossible because He has already done the greater work for you. You know, and the amazing thing for this is that, do you know that actually God, He don't have to entrust you responsibility. Do you know that? When we talk about, let's say, preaching the gospel, do you know that God doesn't have to get you responsible to preach the gospel? In fact, sometimes we think about it, actually, because we are the ones with the responsibility to preach the gospel, a lot more people seems not to want to hear it, right? They look at our lives as like, hey, I don't want to believe in Jesus. But yet God chose to still entrust you that responsibility. And so to end off with this analogy again, the 999 plus the one, right? You know, the 999 is really the thing that makes or break. But our God is so awesome and sovereign that He often is able to give us significance. So even though we are just taking one step, God has made that one step so significant and important that unless and until you take it, He will not complete. So God is so sovereign, whatever He has done is complete. But in His sovereignty, He created that one step for you. Though small as it is, He gives significance to it. So I want you to know that whatever you are called to do, whatever you are called to be responsible for, is never too insignificant. It's never too big for you to do, because this is the God that we have. And even if there are times that you might so-called fail in the learning of taking responsibility, our God is one who gives you a second chance. Because ultimately His desire is not to find fault with you, but His desire is for you to develop. His desire is for you to play a part in history. So can we all stand, you know, and let's just take this time to worship God. And really, whichever group you are, I think let's start from this place. First of all, we look at God and we just worship Him. We declare who He is and allow that truth, right? That God is great. God is good. God is the one who entrusts to us to really help us find hope in the different things we need to do, right? In the different things we need to be. The team just lead us.
Father has lavished on us that we should be called His sons and daughters, precious in His sight, greater love this world has never seen. When He hung on a tree, oh why did He do such a thing? For dirty sinners like you and me, oh God, cross You made history. Lord, You died for me forever. I pray.
we continue to worship, I want to open the altar for a time for response. I think the word is very clear, right? That those of you who are struggling, maybe because of fear, perhaps some of you, you have a deep sense of failure, that you maybe even in the past have failed in certain areas. And that's why you're always afraid to take up responsibility. Tonight, I just want to give you a chance to come for us to pray with you. And really, when we pray for you, we're going to stand here and just declare who God is in your life. We're going to pray that God will remind you that He's the one, right, who's entrusting you, not just responsibility, but entrusting to you, right, all that He will give to you to strengthen you, including His very Spirit. So if you know that you are the ones who's struggling, it's okay. We have this place where we can respond. We have this place where we can gain encouragement. Is that okay? Right, so as we continue to sing, if you know that's you, you just come forward. And the leaders automatically just come forward and pray for those who are out here in the front.
What love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called His sons and daughters, precious in His sight. Greater love this world has ever seen, when He hung on a tree, oh why did He do such a thing for dirty sinners like you?
Express our love to God for choosing us.
On that cross You made history, Lord, You died for me forever. Cross You made history.
Before I release you, I just want to share a word that has been sensed. Maybe some of us are questioning, are we even worthy? Am I worthy for what God is calling me? But the word given was that God sees you as worthy. Maybe in or of yourself, you struggle to find that worth. You can't find it. But it's true, your worth doesn't come to call for yourself. Your worth comes from God. The worth that God has given to you. Because God sees you so precious to Him that He even offered Himself to you. So my friends, know that each of you can be in your own right worthy to be men and women of great responsibility because God was the one who gave it to you. Amen? And God says to you that I'm responsible for you. Don't worry about if you feel that no one is taking care of you. But God is in every way responsible for all your needs, for all your dreams, or even your destiny. Whatever He has called you, He will bring to pass. So God, we just want to commit our friends here tonight. We just pray that You bless each one of them, that give them a greater vision of themselves. Give us as a ministry a greater vision of young people in this church. That we need not be young people who are aimless, but we'll be young people of courage. That we'll be able to step up to be very responsible for ourselves, very responsible for people around us, very responsible for the kingdom of God, and through that know how to even entrust responsibility to others. That when we step out into a society that is different, people will see the difference in us, and they will see that You are a great God. God, that we can be responsible, not because we think that we are very fantastic, but we know that we have a great God because You have done all that is needed for us to accomplish what You have set out before us. So though there might be difficulties, but we thank You that You have really done what's impossible for us. And so keep us dreaming with You. Keep us trusting. And all God's people say, amen, amen. If you still need, let's give God, the glory.